according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Can you say praise God? Praise. Amen. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Praise God. Have you ever experienced total darkness? Have you ever gone into caves and see how dark it could be? A few years ago, we were in Wisconsin. And yeah, they even have caves in Wisconsin. But we started down the stairways down into the cave. And we went down, I think, two or three flights of stairs. And it was a beautiful stalagmites and stalagmites and all that stuff. And it was beautiful. We got down a little bit deeper. I believe, if I remember right, it was like 100 or 200 feet below the surface of the earth. And as we were standing there and our guide was explaining all the stuff, he said, grab a hold of the rail. Grab a hold of something, because I'm going to show you what total darkness is. And when we were all ready, he turned the light out, and oh my goodness, it almost felt like something wrapped around you. Well, for me anyway. It felt like something wrapped around me, and the darkness was almost suffocating, and it could be very disorienting. I couldn't remember. Now, where did everybody stand? Where was everybody? Total darkness, couldn't see anything. But oh, when he turned that light back on, that was peace when that light came back on. And think about, there was a time in eternity all was darkness. There was no light. Everything was dark. There was nothing there. But even though there was nothing, there was God, because God has always been. When there, at that time, there were no galaxies, no universe, no sun, no moon, no stars, no earth. God was there. When there was nothing, God was there. And in that darkness, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I could imagine, or I wish I could imagine, the power that light must have had and the effect that it must have had at that time. I really can't imagine what it must have been like to suddenly see things that out of darkness and suddenly light. There's no way to define darkness except that it's the absence of light. Where there is no light, there's darkness. But where there is light, darkness has to flee. When light comes, darkness runs away. What a sight that must have been, to see the first glimpse of light in that total expanse of darkness. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He separated the waters from the sky. He made the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. He made the plants. He made the grass, everything from those giant sequoia trees in California that live for hundreds of years and grow hundreds of feet tall, all the way down to the smallest microscopic things that you and I can't see and sometimes aggravates us because we catch a cold or we get sick. He made all of that. He made everything. He made the animals. He made the giant elephants and the beautiful giraffes and all the animals that he created, he made. Yes, even the mosquitoes. And do you realize there is a purpose for everything that he made? Do you know that if it wasn't for bees, all crops would die? There would be no food. Got to have bees. You ever been stung by a bee? I can tell you about that. But first of all, I want to say this. God doesn't make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. He doesn't do anything by accident. And there's nothing that surprises God. You'll never hear him say, "Whoo, didn't see that coming." not God. He knows it all. The galaxies he created rotate with such precision that we can know today where Mars will be 6 months from now in its rotation. Launch a rocket from here and rendezvous with Mars and set a rover down on that planet, because God had set everything in motion. He did it for a purpose, for a reason. He didn't do it by accident. We didn't get all these things by accident. He had a plan in creation. And what he does, he does with a purpose. Now, there's a reason the planets rotate like they do, so that they don't collide with one another. We stay the same distance from the sun. We stay the same distance from the moon. God knew what he was doing. Amen. He had a plan from in creation. And each day of creation, his plan began being fulfilled. That wasn't the total of his plan, but it began to be fulfilled. And each day it ended, he said, I like that. That's good. Day one, that's good. Day two, that's good. Day three, that's good. Each day. And as he created the plants and the animals and the trees and so forth, he spoke all of them into existence. And I can't imagine today the beauty that first week must have been. Because I can look at the beauty of Earth today, and even though we've messed a lot of it up, Earth has some beautiful sights. There are places that it will take your breath away just to see them. But to see the first animal, the first bird, I can't really imagine. I'm kind of hoping that when we get to heaven, God can kind of give us a backwards view. This is what it looked like. This is how it happened, and this is how my plan got started. But God's creation was awe-inspiring, I'm sure. But on that sixth day, as God looked over his creation and all of its beauty, he was about to expose his greatest creation. Oh, he had the angels to worship him. He had the angels to do his bidding and all that. But he wanted something else. Amen. He wanted a being that would choose to serve him. Do you know you don't have to serve God? You can choose not to serve God. But God wanted someone that, even though you had the ability to say no, he wanted a people that would be willing to say, yes, I'll serve you. Praise God. Amen. God didn't speak man into existence like he did the rest of the creation. This new creation was going to be personal to him. So he bowed down on the dirt and he began to mold the clay and the dust and he began to form man in his image. And when he got it just the way he wanted it, he breathed into it the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God made man for a purpose. Yet we have the authority over the things of this earth, but he created us to serve him. And after each day of creation, when he said it's good, after the sixth day he looked at it and said, oh, this is very good. After he had created that man, he said, this is very good. I can almost imagine God saying, man, I like that. I did good. I did a good thing. Amen. Shakespeare said one time, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and entrances, and one man in his lifetime plays many parts. He understood that our life is part of a larger story. We're just one single individual in the midst of billions of people that now live on the earth and billions of people that have already lived and made their exits off of this earth. Amen. But when we look at it like that, our human perspective might change just a little bit. How many of you ever think, I'm nothing? I'm no good. I'm not good for anybody. I'm not good for anything. There's a reason that you're here. There's a purpose that we are here today. Amen. And when we start thinking like that, we need to realize, yeah, we may not be important to a lot of people, But we're important to God. And let me tell you, I would rather please Him than to please people. Amen. I'd rather please God than to take my chances on pleasing someone else. Amen. Some will come into our lives and be gone. Oh, boy, I could talk about that. Some will come into our lives and bless us. And some will come into our lives and drive us to our knees. People come and go. But everyone has an effect on who they meet, who they come in contact with. And we need to understand that our life affects those around us. What we do, what we say, how we think really affects those around us. It affects our families, affects the church. It affects our community. What we do, what we say, what we think. Amen. But we're just part of this life, right? Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. David described it like this in Psalms 90, verse 9. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Shakespeare said it's a play. David said it's a tale that is being told. And right now, you know, there's a lot of ifs in life. Boy, if I'd only done that, if I'd only not taken that job, or if I'd only, there's a lot of what ifs. What if I had met someone else? What if I had, those are some dangerous what ifs. We are here today because of the decisions that we've made, and because we're in this play, if you will, or if we're in this tale that's being told, we're here for a purpose. And we are where we are because of the decisions that we've made through life and writing our own story. Let's talk a little bit about God's plan. God's divine plan. God's plan for us is to serve Him. But we get to choose. It's up to us to decide, am I going to serve God or am I going to do what I want to do outside of God? Would I rather go to church or would I go to Disney World? Would I want to go to church or would I rather go to the beach? Give me church any day. Give me church any day. As sure as God had a plan for all creation, He has a plan for each of us. Amen. But it's up to us. Will we choose to serve Him or not? No matter what we choose, we're writing our own life story. If I choose to go to the beach instead of go to church, that's part of my story. When my life is done and the book is open, you're going to read in there, oh, he wanted to go to the beach. He don't want to go to church. See, our life is simply chapters of books that we're writing. Amen. And we choose how we want to live our life. Amen. But God has a plan for each of us. I was born into a family that was poor. And how am I going to deal with that? My folks never had much. My dad was sick a lot, asthma and emphysema. Never had a whole lot. I could be angry about that. I could be upset with mom and dad. Why didn't you try harder? Why didn't you do more? But instead, I chose to love my mom and dad. And in that chapter about my relationship to my parents, it's going to say, he loved mom and dad. Amen. Amen. Then there came a time I had to make a choice. Do I want to continue to serve God like my parents, or do I want to go my way? Amen. I'm so glad I chose to serve the Lord. But it's a story, really, that writes itself. We're born, we grow, we live, we go on our journey a little bit different than each other. What I do, you might not, and what you do, I might not, and how you go about, you might not like the things that I eat, and I might not like the things you eat. We're all different, but every one of us have to make choices in our lifetime. We make plans, we make decisions, and with every plan, with every decision, every choice, we write our own story. But as we live our life, we've got to remember the main character in our story has got to be God. If God isn't the center of our life, Our story is going to come to a dramatic ending. Understand, he has a divine plan for each of us. I thought as we celebrated the life of Sister Brown on Friday, what a precious, precious lady. And as you would look at her, you wouldn't see the little girl that used to skip along, jump rope, you know. Sometimes we don't, we see each other, we don't see what we were as we were growing up. But as she became a beautiful young lady and she married that precious man, Brother Brown, and life went on and had children and she grew older. But she had chosen many, many years ago, I'm going to serve God. And I'll never forget so many times as they would bring her in a wheelchair and sit back there on that back road, and she'd always have a smile on her face, and Brother McGuire would say, everyone come to the front, here comes that wheelchair. Man, you talk about writing a story. I'm serving God no matter what. And Friday, we read the last chapter of her book, the end. But I think there was a footnote God put in there. Well done. Well done. How is my book going to end? God's plan has always been to have a relationship with his people. God wants a person. We're at the center of his divine purpose. Everything that he has done, the creation that he has given us has been for his purpose, to have a relationship with us. Amen. He had that plan before the foundation of the world was ever laid, before he spoke light into existence, before he spoke the planets and hung the stars in the heavens, before he did any of that, he had a plan. I want a people that will serve me because they choose to serve me. The angels are great. They do my bidding. Angels are awesome. They worship. In fact, some angels worship day and night before the throne, just holy, holy, holy. And that's all they do. And that's great. But that's what they were created for. We were created to have the choice. I'm going to do that. I'm going to fall before the throne of God. I'm going to worship him. Amen. God had that divine plan, and it involved us. God isn't constrained by time and space. We know that. He's everywhere. Can you imagine that? When he's here, he's on the other side of the world. He's on Mars. He fills all and all. God is everywhere, and he's all-powerful. He's immortal, and we understand all that. He's omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful. And although he is all of that, even though he's all of that, he's not some distant, far-away, uncaring God. He's right here with us. He's right here today. Amen. God is all-powerful, and he can touch our hearts and change our lives if we want to, if we choose to give our life to him. We can turn our lives over to him, and he can dwell within us. As he said, he speaking of truth, he said, he dwells with you and shall be in you. God isn't some far off. We get frustrated, and we get upset, and we get concerned about things. God's right there. When you're in the fire, God's right there with you. When the storms are raging and the wind's blowing against you, God's there. The disciples on the boat, the storm was raging, the wind was blowing, the waves was beating up against it, and there was Jesus. And they were scared. They went to him, woke him up, said, "Don't you care that we perish?" Believe me, God is with you, no matter where you are or what you're going through. And what you're going through is just another chapter, another line in your book. How do you respond to that problem? How do you respond to the waves? How do you respond to the wind that's blowing against? How do you respond to that? When we respond, peace. Be still, according to the Word of God. I'll tell you what, we can write some good chapters in our book. Ephesians 1 and 4, I want to read out of the New Living Translation. It says, "Even before the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So this great God, the God who created all things, has given us hope through his grace and mercy. God made us with a free will and the ability to choose whether we will serve Him. He had angels to serve Him. That's good, but that's not enough. I want somebody that is willing to serve me. There's an experiment in London about 15 years ago. They took a group of volunteers, I think 10 volunteers, and put them in an environment in a zoo. And here they had, you know, the zebras and the lions and all the animals and the exhibit that all the apes were in. And then over here was these humans. And they were just doing human things, just being human, kind of enjoying themselves. And someone said, when you see humans as animals, it kind of reminds us that we're not all that special. What a sad outlook. God created us in His image. We are like God. This is what David said, in Psalm 139:14. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Don't tell me that I'm like the animal. Don't tell me that I'm like one of them, that I'm equal. I am above them. I am in control over them. I have dominion over them because God set it up that way. Praise God. He made us in His image. Don't call me an ape. We are sons and daughters of God. We are sons, we are God's children. Many times we may think that we're not worthy or we're not good enough, but out of His great love, He chose to commune with those who could choose not to commune with Him. And we become sons and daughters, knowing God's love and given the choice. Why would anyone choose not to serve God? If knowing the blessings of God, knowing what He can do and what He has done, well, I'm going to have to rush on. Remember, when you were in school and they were choosing sides, you ever been where they would pick you and you be captains, pick your teams? I'll take that one and that one and that one. No, I don't want that one. I want that one. Then pretty soon you're the last one. You ever been there? Really makes you feel good, doesn't it? Last one chosen. Then they got smart. Okay, everybody line up. Every other one is on the team. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Well, kids are smart. And they know they're going to do that. So you get there, and I'll get here, and then you get over there. And somebody's going to be last again. Somebody's going to get chosen last. And the one that's chosen last always feels unwanted, ashamed, embarrassed, all those emotions they do. But in creation, although God created everything else first, and we were created last, He chose us first. He chose you and I. He still chooses us today, praise God. He still gives us the opportunity to choose Him. Amen. Choose to follow Him. In Joshua 24:15, you know the story. Israel had gotten across the Red Sea. They were over there getting ready to go into Jericho. In Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Do you know we make that choice every day? Every day of our lives, we make that choice. I'm either going to serve God today or I'm not going to. You know, how do you do that? Well, my buddy wants to go out there, and it's probably not a good place to go, but I'll just choose to go with him. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise God. What a choice. It's our choice. We can choose to serve God, but know this. It's His desire for us to choose Him. It's His desire to have that personal relationship. Second, in Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 7, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God spoke everything else into existence, but when he made man, he reached down and created man himself. Amen. Our breath comes from him. I love that song we're saying. Just forgot the words. That's it. That's the one. It's his breath. It's your breath. And so I use that breath to praise you. It's your breath in me. It's your breath in these lungs. So I'm going to use that breath to praise my Creator, to praise my God, to have that communion with God, to talk to God. Can you imagine? Imagine as Adam and Eve had been created, placed in the garden, and the Bible says that God would come along every evening and walk with them in the garden. Could you imagine some of the conversations they must have had? Wow. Walking with God, talking with God. Oh, man, God, look at that zebra over there. Do you see that? Look at those deer. Look at that beautiful. I don't know what kind of conversations they had, but it must have been awesome. And you know what? God was so intimate with them every day, and we today can have the same intimate relationship. Amen. Have you ever just looked at something and said, God, look how beautiful that sky is. Beautiful sunset. You did a good job, God. You know, we can commune with God every day through prayer, talking to God. Well, we often talk about pray every day. But what is prayer? It's just communion with God. It's just talking like I'm talking right now, just talking to God. Lord, how are you doing today? I know a preacher that he would come in with a cup of coffee, sit on the back pew. Hey, God, how are you doing today? I'm doing pretty good. And he would just talk to God like that. But every day we can commune. Coming to church, communing with God. Fellowshipping like yesterday. Man, we had a great time. I had a good time. I hope everybody else did. Some had to wonder, I'm sure. But that's communing. Communing with God. Through reading of the Bible. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God gave them authority over all creation. And they were enjoying that relationship with God, and they were fulfilling their purpose. And we know that they made a bad choice. I'm not going to get into that today. But they had a purpose. And today we have a purpose also. Fulfilling our purpose brings many blessings. Serving God, I know, in I'm going to give you some of my testimony. Our testimony. Serving God allowed my Michelle to be alive today, because we saw the day that she did not breathe for quite a while, eyes rolled back in her head, and through prayer see the eyes come back to the front and breath enter that life again. I've seen Melanie, who had been healed of leukemia. Blessings of serving God. Marcy, I could tell you, each one of my kids has had a specific thing in their life that God has done a great thing for them. Actually, with Marcy, she actually got Congress to change the law. You try and do that without God. Congress don't change nothing. Amen. But that happened. So many blessings by serving God. Why wouldn't we choose to serve Him? That's God's plan. That's God's ultimate plan. When it feels like you've been left out, and when it feels like you were chosen last in life, when you feel like you're just no good, read what Paul says in Galatians 4 and 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. You're a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What does that mean? What does an heir do? An heir inherits everything that dad has. So everything that is God's is ours. We've inherited all things through Christ, praise God. For those who choose to serve Him, become sons of God, and inherit all things through Christ, what an awesome experience in life that we have. It's our choice. It's our choice to yield to God. It's our choice to yield ourselves to Him. But when we do, we become the sons of God. Wow. You ever looked at yourself like that? Have you ever looked at yourself and say, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. If you can look at yourself like that and write that in your book, in your story, I am a child of God. My inheritance is phenomenal. I'm going to see a place that no one has ever seen. The beauty is so great you can't even explain it. I'm going to inherit the eternal city and be with God forever. Praise God. Jesus said in John 1 and 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Don't belittle yourself. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. I know that. And when that plan is fulfilled and my last chapter of my book is written, and it says the end, I want him to be able to put a footnote in my book. Well done. I want to read Ephesians 15, or rather 1, 5 through 7 again, only from the New Living Translation. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Grace, grace, that song. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within, cleanse us from sin. What an awesome God. Well, why would he do that? He wants to have a personal relationship with you and I. He wants to change our lives. He wants us to follow after him, but he's given us the opportunity to choose. Amen. This salvation is God's divine plan. It doesn't matter what our past has been. I'll tell you what, if we really knew what each other's past was, we probably wouldn't want to sit by each other. Well, come on now. It doesn't matter what our past has been. There's a preacher right now that is baptizing in Jesus' name, I believe in New York, that up until 2014 led a well-known gang of violent criminals. Just read the story yesterday. But something happened, and he gave his life to God, and God changed him. Tattoos from here to here, here to here, here to here. All gang-related tattoos. But now he's baptizing people in Jesus' name. He's going to the prisons to affect those that are in prison. Don't tell me God doesn't care. God wants us to write our story for him. And he's willing to help us in anything that we need. No matter what situation we're in, no matter what circumstance that may come our way, God has a purpose in our life. And when we're in trouble and we have heartache and we have problems, God will help us through those. Praise God. Hurrying on. Ephesians 2 and 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Praise God. We are his workmanship. We are what he has made us. I may not be pretty. I may not be muscular. Well, I am kind of muscular, but no. I may not be what you think I ought to be or what I think I ought to be, but I am what he made me. I am what he wants me to be. And as long as I give my life to him, I look at Lacey, and I recall that message Pastor McGuire preached some years ago, Lacey's Purpose. What an awesome message that was. And I see her coming to church and a smile on her face and knowing the pain that she's going through, knowing all the situations that's involved in her life. And she's serving God. She's loving God. Wheelchair bound much of the time or a lot of the time. And I think, God, what purpose is there there? But when Brother McGuire got through preaching, whew, there is a purpose for everything that happens in our life. There is a purpose for everything that happens in our life. When we get to the point, see, God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Lacey's not a mistake. Right. You're not a mistake. I'm not a mistake. God has made us in his image We are children of God. I'm a son of God. You're a child of God. That's not a mistake. Lacey, her family could be so upset with God. Why would God do that? But oh, what a testimony she is. She'll stand one day. And she might say, why didn't you go to church? Why didn't you pray? Why didn't you commune with God? Anyway, God doesn't make mistakes. The circumstances that mold us and shape us are determined by the way we react to those circumstances. How we react. We choose. You know, not making a choice is a choice. I want to serve God, but I'm not sure yet, and I'm not sure I'm good enough. That's a choice. I want to serve God. And in closing, there was a child that was born to parents. They looking forward to it so well. They looked forward to his birth, and they were so excited. But when Nick was born, he had no arms, and he had no legs. And Nick's father lost faith because he just couldn't understand why this would happen, why God would allow such a thing to happen. And as Nick grew, he was bullied in school. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. And he really had to battle bitterness, which you could imagine. Bitterness and loneliness, depression, all that. And when he was 10 years old, he became suicidal. He just felt like he was no good to anybody. He had no value. And he thought he would always be a burden to his parents. And why even live? And one day, he saw another boy that had no arms and no legs. And he looked at him and said, I can help him. And so he began to change. At that moment, Nick realized that he was part of a bigger plan. His story was going to be rewritten just a little bit. Nick surrendered to who God made him to be, and his life turned around. When we totally surrender our God, this is who I am and this is what I am. I am yours. I present my body to you, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. When we do that, God will change us to be like him. Praise God. But he became more independent as a teenager. He actually learned to care for himself. He learned how to swim, learned how to surf. And I've seen this young man. When he turned 19, Nick began his career as a motivational speaker. Some of you may have seen him. I've seen him on YouTube. Coming out on that stage with no arms, no legs, trying to encourage everybody else. Wow! Your life, no matter what it is going through right now, you can encourage everybody else around you. You choose to encourage others. Or you choose to, like somebody said, walk through into the church with their lips vacuuming the carpet. You know, just so sad. Or we can choose. I see Brother Brown with a big smile on his face. That does something to me. I see some of you that I know are going through trials, and yet you're in church. That's encouraging. You are fulfilling God's plan when you give yourself completely to him. When you give yourself, that's what God wants. Oh, just to talk to you, just to commune with you. And then we know that we can repent of our sins and be baptized in the holy name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And God's Spirit will dwell in us. He not only with us, but in us. What a communion that we can have with God. To be able to serve him is my desire. To be able to serve him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and to encourage somebody. I pray that I can encourage someone every day. I hope that I can. I just want to be what God wants me to be. Amen. Let's stand. God bless you. Remember always to look at our church bulletin and, of course, the calendar out on the wall and overhead for all of our announcements. Amen. God is good. Can you say amen? Amen. Lord, we're thankful for your love today. We pray that you'd bless each one. Go with us, Lord, and bless the second service. Anoint Brother Roach. God, let the presence of God be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.